Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, our Lord, our Rock, and our Redeemer. One of the most difficult and troubling topics in theology is the so-called problem of evil. Simply stated, the problem is this: how cannot an omnipotent and benevolent God allow evil and suffering in the world that he created? Whole books have been written on this topic, and the book of Job in the Old Testament is almost entirely dedicated to this question. I promise you that we're not going to resolve this issue here this morning or in the near future, but I would like to offer a few observations. The Reformed Christian faith, in particular, has a solid approach to the problem of evil. Observation number one: God is the first cause of everything that comes to pass, including evil. Isaiah 45:5-7. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that thou may know from the rising of the sun from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Some have observed that this word evil may not mean real evil, but something like calamity. I will observe that the Hebrew word ra, which is this word, is the same word is used in Genesis 3:5, which says, you will be like gods, knowing good and evil. Observation number two: although God uses evil men and evil deeds to accomplish his purposes, God himself is holy, righteous, good, and holy. Genesis 50, verse 20. This is the incident where Joseph's brothers believe that he's going to put them to death because they plotted to kill him. Genesis 50, verse 20. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people lives. So this is an example of God using the evil deeds of men for good to bring him glory. Observation number three: God planned and foreknew the fall of Adam and Eve into sin. We know this as Christians because we are redeemed from before the foundation of the world. And without the fall, there would be no need for a redeemer. So let's talk about a few non-scriptural and sinful ways that people deal with evil. First of all, there's the absolute denial of evil as a real thing. And we see this, there's an entire religion based on this called Buddhism. There's another one called Christian Science. And basically they say evil's not a real thing. It's just a mental thing. It's all in your mind. It doesn't really exist, and it's just bad thinking. This is just simply very wrong. Evil is real. It's serious business, and it leads to death and destruction, and it has eternal consequences. Number two, wrong way of dealing with evil: attributing evil to individual actions only. This was quickly done by Job's friends and family as he faced trials, sufferings, and as they came upon them. Their statement was, you must have done something wrong. This has to be judgment by God against you for your individual sins. But our Lord Jesus Christ says in John 9:1-3, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from his birth. And the disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him. Another approach is to say that evil is really just the absence of good, or the absence of God. This is another notion that's just simply wrong. Let's tell this to a person who has cancer, who has been a victim of abuse, that this evil is not really a real thing, it's just the absence of good. I will promise you that this will not satisfy them. If God was not present anywhere in the world, it would not be the presence of evil. It would be nothingness. A fourth error in dealing with this is to attribute it to natural or physical impersonal forces. This is otherwise known as deism. It's the idea that God is a cosmic clockmaker who creates the earth and winds it up like a clock and only intervenes from time to time. There's a recent version of this called open theism that says God lets men choose their future and only intervenes after things get really out of control. However, God is not only the creator, he is a micromanager of every detail of creation. Exodus 4:11. And the Lord said unto him, this is where he tells Moses to go and tell the people that he's going to lead them out of captivity. And Moses protests and says he's not a good speaker. And the Lord said unto him, who has made man's mouth, or who has made the dumb or the deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? And a final non-scriptural way to deal with evil is to attribute it to Satan. This is the devil made me do it thing. The error says that Satan, the error is that Satan is a co-sovereign with God. And it is. I'll also remind you that this is what Eve's justification was to God during the fall, eating the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And this argument that Satan made me do it didn't wash very well with God. So how should we think about evil? Thomas Aquinas suggests that God uses evil as a temporary means to achieve an eternal greater good. Let me repeat that. God uses evil as a temporary means to achieve an eternal greater good. I think that he's right. Listen to 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18 and see if it doesn't suggest exactly this. 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18. For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for these things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let me conclude with a very familiar scripture to this congregation, Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Do we really believe that all things, even evil, are working together for our good? If we do, our issues with evil become more understandable and less threatening.
Systematic theology, which is contained in the Westminster Confession of Faith, Shorter Catechism. We'd reached that section of the catechism toward the end, which has to do with the external means by which Christ communicates the benefits of redemption to the redeemed. We've learned that those external means include the Word, the sacraments, and prayer. And we reach now that section of prayer. We're talking specifically about the prayer that was given to us by God, by Christ, the Lord's Prayer. And we're talking about the specific petitions in the prayer. So we're going to be starting with question number 1, 100, 101, and 102. I'll read the question. Please join me in reading the answer. What does the preface of the Lord's Prayer teach us? The preface of the Lord's Prayer, which is, Our Father, which art in heaven, teaches us to draw near to God with all holy reverence and confidence, as children to a Father able and ready to help us, and that we should pray with and for others. What do we pray for in the first petition? In the first petition, which is, Hallowed be thy name, we pray that God would enable us and others to glorify him in all that whereby he maketh himself known, and that he would dispose all things to his own glory. What do we pray for in the second petition? In the second petition, which is, Thy kingdom come, we pray that Satan's kingdom may be destroyed, and that the kingdom of grace may be advanced, ourselves and others brought into it and kept in it, and that the kingdom of glory may be hastened. We'll pick up there next week.